You haven't encountered God just because you showed up at the service, especially if your heart is not there. Because it's not about your hands or your head, it's about your heart.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Welcome back to Revive Radio. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in this I Worship series. This is part two from the series, Understanding the Importance of Praise. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
I'm thankful that God gave us songs, hands to clap and to raise, and a voice to bring. All of that's part of it, but it's not the end. So he read his passage of scripture, and the people were in such one mind and in one accord. It's happened here hundreds of times, thousands of times over the years. The presence of God came sweeping in, and the glory of God, you could see it begin to manifest as people. I literally was sitting there. This was a service years and years ago. Are you hearing me? This was not yesterday or this past Sunday. And brothers, if the heat is on, you can take it off now. This was a service years and years ago, but the anointing of his presence was so heavy on that service. He didn't get to preach. He read the passage of scripture, and suddenly people were engaged in, they were connected to that word, connected to the presence of God, and people spontaneously began to shout and praise and dance. Tears, some were crying, some were laughing and raising their hands. People were worshiping all over the place. And it went, you know, I heard one preacher, I was listening to a guy coming back from Atmore last night. I was listening to a little preacher on the YouTube coming home, and he was all down and all that emotionalism and all that kind of stuff. You people, with you know, all your emotional worship service, I said, time out. You'll get emotional about what you love. Did you hear what I said? Come on now. I mean, people are emotional about all kinds of things right now. You let your house get blown off of a foundation, you'll get emotional. You let fire ravage your house, you'll get emotional. Come on, somebody. Let's just take it to the full carnality of the deal right here. If your team doesn't win, you'll get emotional. Why is that? Because God made us emotional beings. We're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Inside of our psyche, our soul, is the will, the mind, and the emotion. And all of that is engaged, especially when you hear the passage of scripture that if you're going to worship the Lord, you must worship him. You must worship him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and the New Testament adds strength. So there's not one part of your being from the innermost to the outermost that is not engaged in what is supposed to be the worship experience that brings you into a place where God delivers, saves, heals. And it may not necessarily be inside of that particular service. It might just be like I was watching that service today. Tears begin to, I mean, blew out of my eyes as the presence of God on that TV service, that service came leaping off of the screen into my living room. And suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, I was in the tabernacle of the Most High God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Worship becomes the central focus of the entirety of the Bible. Why? Why is that? Because God created us as a worship being to create by, He made us. He created the angels by design. Their worship is by design. Their worship is holy, holy, holy. And they are created for that purpose. But he wanted someone, humans, that would worship him by their own will. And now you were created, I was created. And for that purpose, we were created to worship him. Now you're gonna worship somebody, something. As I shared with you this past weekend, now the push is on that people are gonna begin to worship artificial intelligence. I'm telling you, you're gonna worship someone and it becomes your choice. God does not want to twist your arm to get you to say, listen, if my wife has to twist my arm for me to tell her I love her, how many of you know that ain't working really good at all? Who wants their spouse to tell them they love them because you got their arm twisted behind their back? Tell me you love me. Okay. Let me just watch the game. Right? So worship means then putting worth on something or someone. In the Hebrew, it is to esteem with worth and honor, to put a high value on something. Worship is the result. Give me the largest bill you got in there. Worship is the result of, or the combination thereof, of a revelation of the source of creation. You tie your worship back to the source. Who made you? God did. So then praise and worship are interconnected. Praise is continually done, as we found out this past weekend, with our mouth. Too many people exalt the means above the end. So the end of an encounter with God is not a worship experience, but the manifestation of His glory revealed to us. Somebody should get saved. Somebody should get healed. Somebody should get delivered. Now, that may not always manifest itself to our eyes to see, but as I was watching that service today, the presence of God was so real, and He began to speak out. There are people getting healed in here. There are people getting delivered. How many of you have ever had the encounter of God to such a degree that it may have happened somewhere else, or it may have been happening, but you had a confirmation in your spirit it was definitely happening right then? And you begin to worship Him as if you had it in your hand. That's worship. All right, so because you're all nervous and you don't have anything to write yet, here it is. Praise is when we talk about God. Worship is when we talk to God. Praise becomes the accessing point into the presence of God. There's a pattern to get there. I won't discuss that tonight, but there is a pattern to get there. And God gives us the means in order to access His presence. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now, if you sit there and say, you know, or say nothing, you never open your mouth to praise, you never lift your hands, you never move, then I can assure you, you won't access the presence of God. The presence of God could be all around you, but not touch you. And let me assure you, your stick-in-the-mud attitude will not stop the river from flowing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, I don't know why they've taken so long to do that. Well, it could be because you're not in tune with what's going on and you just showed up for the show. But if you'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving, if you ever have that true encounter with God, you too will come down off the mountain like Moses and your face will have changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So learning what praise is will help us to get one step closer to pleasing God with our praise. How many of you want to please God? Let me see your hand. All right. So we got a large portion. There's about 20% that said no. So definition of praise is this. Here, and this is not all inclusive. These are just a few terms to describe what praise is. Praise and worship. First, in the dictionary, you're going to find it means commending, to entrust care or preservation, or to recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. In other words, it's not just me, but when I'm convinced that God is God, my praise, I feel my help coming in now. My praise has the ability to be able to convince and convey to other people that God is worthy. Oh my God. That God is worthy of me taking time to lift my hands and sing the song and praise Him and open my mouth and magnify Him. It's amazing to me that, and I wanted to show the video, I'll do it probably in another one, but it's amazing to me how people can do all those kind of calisthenics at a concert or a game or wherever it may be, and then come to church and sit on their hands as if, as if, show me something. But if you, how many of you understand this concept? No deposit. Try going down to your bank, if you've not put any money in there, pull up to the window and say to the nice lady over there, nice lady, I'd like to get $1,000 out of my account. And she says, well, nice man, I'd like to be able to give you that, but you have zero in your account. In fact, to the business, nice man, you are in a deficit. You owe us $1,000 of NSF checks. Because you've been cashing in on something. Come on, somebody. You've been coming to church, eating off of somebody else's plate and praise. You've been doing all that kind of stuff. Come on now. I don't know whether you know it or not, because this is just the way it is. Prayers never go away. Revelation 5 says that God bottles those prayers up in vials. Prayers never go away. Once you pray to prayer, it's out there. And God actually bottles those prayers up according to the scripture in Revelation 5 and will pour them out. So watch what I'm about to tell you. Right here where, I'm going to take you back old school, right here where Corey is sitting tonight is the seat where Sister Barden, one of the founding members of this church, sat and was a praying individual. Now, most of you don't know her. Most of you, I call, you walked up and down Barden Hall and you never knew who she was. But I'm going to tell you one thing. She was a praying woman. I remember one service in this place in the early 90s where she broke out and started walking these aisles. My God, I feel the glory right now. And she started walking up and down this place right here. And the next thing you know, it turned this entire place into a prayer meeting and the glory of God manifested itself. One person who was in touch with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One person. Most of you don't know a lady by the name of Sister Smiley. Sister Smiley lived on 9th Avenue over there, and she would come early, and she'd sit over in this section right over here, and I'll never forget it. This is one of those kind of services that was so impacting for me. I was the one who would open the service up most of the time, and I'm standing out in this hallway, and I could hear people talking about, I mean, this place, I don't know if, I think it was a Sunday morning service. The people were talking about everything. I mean, you could hear the chatter out here like it was the beginning of a ball game. Talking about anything and everything. And I'm going to tell you, Sister Smiley came to worship the Lord. Sister Smiley, I'm standing in that hallway over there. I'm going over my notes, and all of a sudden, I start hearing Sister Smiley. And when Sister Smiley clapped her hands, all of the angels of heaven stood up at attention. It rocked the place. She popped those hands like my grandmother popped Wrigley Spearmint gum in her mouth, and it echoed like the chambers of the Grand Canyon. Pow, pow. She started saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And people are looking around at her like she was crazy for a little bit. I poked my head around. I said, what's going on in here? Next thing I know, what started as hand clapping and thank you turned this entire auditorium right here all the way around from conversation and popping in people's ears and talking about everything under the sun. And by the time I walked out on the side to start this service, this place had erupted in a pandemonium of Pentecostal Holy Ghost encounter. The difference is how you hit the door. If you're not commending to God, and it's translating to someone else that we're coming into the presence of the King, then, ladies and gentlemen, you have no confidence to share with anybody else that he's able. So by the time we get up to pray a prayer over the sick, there's not enough faith that's been generated in the room, because we've got so many troubles, we're trying to drag our baggage into the presence of God. And God said, leave that junk outside. I got something for you if you'll leave it outside and come into my presence with praise and thanksgiving.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.